We're going to pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears to hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. We're still studying, right now we're still studying on the fivefold ministry gifts. We're going to go and finish up at least another session of it today. We've covered the apostles and the prophets. Tonight, we're going to get into the third aspect of the fivefold ministry gifts, which is the teacher. What I want you to do, let's start off with a scripture. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 28. We're still designing, re-establishing God's government in the church the way he designed it from the beginning. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church." He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He said, after that, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So once we get the government set up and we begin to mature in the things of God, then these miracles, signs, and wonders we can begin to see in the body of Christ. So tonight we'll start with the teacher. The teacher is not the highest anointing, but only their third level of anointing. It's the third level of anointing. We know we covered the apostle and the prophets, which those two gifts are looking basically to heaven, finding out what heaven it wants here on earth and bringing that to, finding out what heaven wants and bringing that to earth. The teacher's basically thinking about the people, just like the pastor and evangelist is considering the people. So the teacher is basically fixated on the written word of God. They believe that the word of God is the source of life and truth on the earth. Their value for the word is much higher than their need for the supernatural. So their value for the word is much higher than their need for the supernatural. So they believe that they should be properly teaching the word of God, teaching doctrine, and making sure that the body of Christ understand the doctrine of the church. And so, but if they was aligned under a supernatural government, then even their teaching would be more supernatural. Let's find out where this come from and how we as teachers form our opinions about the Word of God. Remember, let's turn to Luke chapter 3. And 3:21, I saw reading there, and we'll just see some things in the scripture here. It say in Luke 3:21, it said, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that when Jesus also being baptized and praying, and the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He goes on to say in verse 4, let's turn to Luke 4. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Remember the word of God in John 1:14. One of the things the word of God says is that as many as receive him, talking about Jesus, to them he gave power to become sons of God. And so we once Jesus was it was proclaimed that God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so then the word of God tells us the same thing. It says, as many as receive him. So we receive Jesus. So he give us the ability to become sons of God. But also just because we have the ability does not mean that we're going to be sons of God with power. We have to be trained and taught how to become sons of God. So we are basically in the body of Christ. We are immature. We're children in the things of God. It goes on to say in Romans 8:14, it says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God made this proclamation of Jesus, about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Scripture 8, Romans 8, 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Here in Luke 4:1, it's saying, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So here he was showing, he was manifesting his sonship, because as he was being led by, as he was being led of the Spirit into the wilderness. He said in verse 2, said, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. So he's going to the written word. He goes back. He was teaching. He was learned from the Old Testament. So everything that was in the Old Testament, some of the things that he was learning, he learned it from the Old Testament. And he came back, and he was on, at that time, he was still under the law. He said, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that, of God, by every word of God. He said, you shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so what happens sometimes, even though we are born again, we are full of the Spirit of God, sometimes the Spirit himself will lead us off in the wilderness for a specific reason or for a specific purpose. We prayed, we've sought God, and we still seem like we have that wilderness experience. So turn to Deuteronomy as the Spirit of God revealed to us and show us some things. And I'll come back and show it to you. We're talking about the teacher now. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want you to see this and what where Jesus got his words from. And Jesus was our example of a teacher in the body of Christ. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says all the commandments, chapter 8, looking at verse 1. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And then he tells them why he led them this way. He say, to humble thee. Yeah, so he tell us some things. He say, When we have these wilderness experiences in our lives, it's to humble us, it's to prove us, and not only to prove us, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy father know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God doeth man live. So even when we are going through our wilderness experience, we don't go back and find out, try to do it ourselves. That's why grace right now, we're learning about grace. And grace is so important that we know that God himself is going to take care of every situation. When we get in these wilderness experiences, one of the things we have to know, we have to go back and find out what the word of God says, and then follow the word of God. When we are tempted by of the enemy, the same thing should happen. Jesus was our example in the earth realm. When he came through, he showed us how it should be done. So if he did it that way, and he was our example, then we should follow his example. Turn to John chapter 13. And like I said, I always read the context of the scripture and see it, but God, what God does, he put principles in the scriptures so that we can see it and we can take these same principles and apply them to any situation that comes up in our lives. Just like I've told you in Matthew 10, 41, where he states, makes a statement as a principle there, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. But we know we are under apostolic government and under the apostolic anointing. So we says that he that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. So here in John chapter 13, looking at verse 13, we'll start reading there. He said, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He said, for I have given you an example that you shall do as I have done to you. So he's saying, I'm an example. So if I'm a teacher on the earth, if I'm teaching the body of Christ, then when a teacher comes along, he should teach the word of God the same way that I taught it when I was here. I'm your example. And so one of the things that we find out that Jesus was not just teaching the word of God, he was also demonstrating and showing how the word of God should operate in the believer's life. There should always be signs and wonders and miracles operating when the word is taught. And so if he's our example, then we should be doing the same thing he did. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So we have been sent by Jesus to minister the word of God and teach the word of God to the body of Christ. And so we should be getting the same results that Jesus got when he was here on earth. Jesus said, John 6:38, one of the things he said, I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father, which sent me. So the Father sent him to the earth so that he could do his Father's will. We are being sent that we also can do the Father's will. We are sons just like Jesus was. He was our example. And so if we're going to do like Jesus did, then some of the things that he got manifested in his life, he always taught the word with power and authority. We find out in the scriptures that, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they was astonished at his doctrine because he always taught the word with power and authority. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. He was our example. Jesus was our example. So he said, you should do like I did. In Matthew chapter 4 and looking at verse 23, it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. Remember in 1 John 3:8, the word of God said that Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So it always seems like whenever sickness or disease showed up in Jesus' ministry, he took care of it. If he destroyed that works, no matter what the enemy was trying to do or what Satan was trying to do to someone, Jesus always took care. He's saying he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Another scripture. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9. And looking at verse 35, same thing. About two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Here in Matthew chapter 9, looking at verse 35, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He was not preaching, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom. What would happen once you come into the kingdom? He says, and the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So it says that every sickness or every disease can be healed by the kingdom of God. There's no sickness or no disease that is impossible for God to take care of. We need to understand that. So that's part of that signs and wonders and miracles that should take place in every believer's life. Once we receive what God is saying, receive the gospel and believe what it says and have faith for what the word of God is saying. One more scripture. Two more scriptures. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1. Looking at verse 22. I start reading from 21 so you can see that. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into their synagogues and taught. He's our teacher. He's the master teacher in the earth realm. And so he wants to show us how it's done. And he said, and they was astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there were, amen, he was an example of what happened. He said, and there were a man in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thee are. You're the Holy One of God. And at that time, Jesus rebuked him. He said, hold our peace and come out of him. So when he said it, immediately he said, and when the unclean spirit had torn and cried with a loud voice and came out of him, and they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among them, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus was our example. He's given us authority. He's given us power to do. Luke 17, let me look at it before I quote it. He said, behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means should harm you. 17:10, Luke 17:10. He makes that statement over there. Luke 10:19. He makes that statement. Yeah, 10:19. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. He didn't leave out any of power of the enemy. He said, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means should hurt you. So he's telling us in the word, he's teaching about the kingdom. He's letting us know these are the things that should be manifesting themselves in the kingdom. He was teaching of the gospel. He's teaching the gospel. And we know what the Apostle Paul has, some of the things that Apostle Paul has said about the gospel. And when we believe the gospel, Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 16. Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 16. And like I say, he was teaching the good news, the salvation, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 states, he said, for I am not, Apostle Paul was teaching to the Romans here. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. So one of the things that we've learned as our apostle ministering to us, that we are saved by grace through faith. And it's not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 and 8. And it's saying that we who are just, we who have been justified by the blood of Jesus, should live by this faith. We find out what God has already provided for us. We have faith for it. We receive it. And then we live that way. So this is what the kingdom should be done. It should not be taught in just in word only, but it should also be taught in power, that those who hear it should be able to receive from it and then believe it and then get manifestation from it. The Apostle Paul goes on to teach. He was another one of our great teachers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of the things he's turned over there right quick, and we'll turn back. I just want to show you some examples of this teaching, what the teaching should be like in the body of Christ. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul began to minister to the people, and one of the things he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." That's the, God's testimony, what Jesus had provided for us already. And so what many times in the body of Christ, what we get is people coming to you with man's wisdom and instead of what God can do for us. We have nice speeches. We are eloquent in what we took, what we're telling you. And we, you know, we have nice rhymes and but it's not, there's no power in those things. So it always should be in power and in demonstration. Right, what Apostle Paul says here in verse 2. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what the power is. It's in what Jesus had provided for us already at the cross. Everything that he done for us, the finished work. That's where the power lies. That's where our faith should be. What Jesus has done for us on the cross, the finished work. We should not have faith for something that has not already happened, but we should have, when we have faith, we should have faith for what has already been provided for us through the word. We gave you the scripture last week in Isaiah 53 and 5, where he was wounded for my transgression. We can have faith for that because that is the word of God. And one of the things that God has told us that his word would not return to him void, but is going to prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, he's saying, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. In my speech and my preaching," preaching and teaching, same thing. He said, "and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? So that the believer that hears his word, that their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So what, as we minister the word, we find out that it's not what we are saying that's doing it, but it's God himself that's manifesting, that's doing these things that you see throughout the scripture. One of the things that Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, and he always go back. He takes it off of him. He tells us that, remember, it's not me that's doing the work, but it's the Father that's in me that's doing the work. In Mark 11, 22, he says, after he had cursed that fig tree, he told us, he said, "You can do the same thing." It's basically what he told his disciples. He said, "Have faith in God." Your faith should always be in what God can do, not in what man can do, but what in God can do. And then he tells us, he goes on to tell us, and he gives us a principle here. He gives us a principle of faith. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this tree, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he say, he can have whatsoever he said." So if we proclaim healing on an individual and we believe that God is the one who's doing it, then we have faith. If we receive what God is saying, then when we say it, when it comes out of our mouths, then we should see the manifestation of it in our lives. But as our apostle, again, I have to keep bringing him up because God is leading him. He's taking him to places. And then he also taking us as we follow him and hear what he's saying. He's taking us to places. He said, many times we don't see manifestations any things that we're seeking God for because of our mindset, because of what we're thinking. Our spirits are already reborn. It's connected to God. But then the word of God in Romans 12, 2 said, but he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our mind have to connect to the word of God. And when it connects to the word of God, then our spirit and our mind is connected. And so then we can get manifestation. That's the only way it's going to happen is for us, our mind, our spirit to connect. And then the manifestation come. Let's read on a little bit further what he says here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the spirit and all power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So everything that happens in the kingdom, God is the one who does it. It comes through what Jesus had provided for us. And so once we receive Jesus and he brought us back, he reconciled us back into the kingdom. And when he reconciled us back, when we received him, then those things that God has provided for us should be manifesting in our lives. If we turn over to Romans chapter 10, and we came into the kingdom by hearing the word of God. We was born again. That was a super manifestation that took place in our lives when we did this. In Romans chapter 10, looking at verse 8. And verse 1 in Romans chapter 10. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. We are the spiritual Israel now. We need to know that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but are not according to knowledge. We who are in the kingdom, we have a zeal of God. Many of us love God. We say we'll do anything for God, but then it's not according to knowledge. There are certain things and certain principles that God set up. And then once we operate according to those principles, then we begin to see the manifestation of what God has said in his word, because God has promised us in his word. And Jeremiah 1 and 12, for instance, God said, I hasten my word to perform it. So God is waiting and willing to perform that which he told us. But he had to find someone who's operating the word the way he set it up, so those things can manifest in our lives. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So what Israel was doing at that time, they were still trying to operate under the law. God had sent a way that they could obtain righteousness. They were still trying to obtain righteousness by following the law. By following the law, that means that the original commandments that came from Moses, they were still trying to follow that. But God said when Jesus came, those laws had been abolished, and we should be now following what Jesus Christ has done for us. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. So we can't mix the two. We either have to follow Christ, the grace that God has provided for us through Christ Jesus, that free gift, and instead of trying to perform by being right in our own eyesight, well, we have to find out that Jesus has already provided everything that we need in this kingdom for us already. It's that Christ is the end of the law for all righteousness, for everyone that believes it. We came in the kingdom by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And because we did, we came into this kingdom, which is a supernatural kingdom. We came in. God say, if you be Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he say, if you be Christ, then are you a new creature? It's the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's your new created human being has now become new. It goes on to say in Romans 10:5, he said, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. So in the commandments, that's the law. That's the law. And Apostle Paul went on, he goes on to say, he said, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That means if we are trying to mix the two, what happens is we still don't get the manifestation of those things that God wants us to have through Christ Jesus, because we're still trying to live the law instead of living what Christ has provided for us. That's why we, as we get in deeper into the culture of honor, we're going to find out that we are punishing our brothers because we're still trying to live under the law instead of living under grace. He go in verse 10, so he say, but the righteousness which is of faith, that's, you know, remember we said, you say by faith, say by grace through faith. He said, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. He said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven from above, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? Here's the word again. He said, but the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, or which we teach. It says that it's a word of faith that we teach or we preach. It said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, it said thou shalt be saved. A supernatural act took place when you believe that. And so it's not a physical thing that took place. It's a spiritual manifestation that took place in your life when you made that confession and you came into the kingdom. Now we are in the kingdom. But we shouldn't be just in the kingdom. We should learn how to operate in the kingdom. And the only way we're going to learn how to operate in the kingdom is by taking the word of God and begin. Apostle Paul told Timothy he should study to show himself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he also goes, I'll turn to 2 Timothy for me right quick. And we'll turn back here to Romans and finish up that part of it. 2 Timothy. It always has to be some supernatural manifesting in the Word of God when the Word of God is being teach. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Word of God says, study to show you thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So that means that if the word has to be rightly divided, the word also can be wrongly divided. And so we have to rightly divide the word of truth. And when we rightly divide the truth, then manifestation should always come in your life. Let's turn over to another scripture while we're here. Turn to 2 Timothy. We are in 2 Timothy. Turn right over. We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking at verse 15. And here in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and that from a child, it was Apostle Paul was ministering to his son Timothy. And so one of the things he said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the faith in with Christ Jesus means the faith that in faith in what Jesus had provided for you on the cross. At the cross, it goes on to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy. He's saying that all scripture, every scripture, first of all, you have to know that it's from God. It's by inspiration of God. It was given to men, but it was given by inspiration of God that they can write the scriptures so for our learning. It says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. One of the things that as we are learning and learn things in the scripture, our apostle told us, first of all, it's four things that happens here in the scripture as we are being taught. It says it's given for doctrine. First of all, doctrine means the established order of God. That's doctrine, the established order, not just any doctrine, but we're talking about the doctrine of scripture. Doctrine is the established order of God. It's also given for reproof. Reproof is dismantling of erroneous teachings and erroneous thinking. Dismantling, that means that when Jesus said that you cannot put new wine in old wineskins, one of the things he was saying, he was dismantling erroneous teachings and erroneous thinking. So if our government has been set up incorrectly, then we need to dismantle that incorrect government and bring in the correct government. It's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so rather than the pastor being in the position of authority in as it is in most of the Western church, the apostle should be at the head because he's seeking what heaven wants here on earth and bring from heaven and bringing that to earth. And so the body of Christ, we need to dismantle erroneous teachings and erroneous thinking and bring the correct teaching into the body of Christ. Correction. Correction means the assimilation of truth in thought process. The assimilation of truth in thought process. And so if we're studying to make ourselves a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God, these are the things that should be happening to an individual. He said that he may be thoroughly furnished in all good work, may be perfect or mature and thoroughly furnished in all good works. And instruction means the systematic application of God's word into your life. Systematic. That means that as Isaiah said in 28, he says it should be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, until the whole doctrine is manifested in your life. It's not going to happen overnight. You can get a little bit here, a little bit here. That's what Isaiah says over in his word. Turn over to Isaiah right quick and we'll turn back. The systematic application of God's word into your life. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 says, and 28:9, he said, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast. So that's part of that fivefold ministry gift. Remember what the fivefold ministry gift does? It matures the saints. And so when we're mature, that means we have been weaned from the breast. We've been drawn. We're not any longer drinking milk, but we are now beginning to eat whole food. Just as an infant, he drinks milk for a certain period of time, and then we start feeding cereal, and then we go up to the next thing. We start giving them prunes and applesauce and that type of thing. Then they get to meat and those good things. So that's where the word of God should be given. It should be done the same way. He say, Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall we make to understand doctrine? He says, them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast. Most of us in the body of Christ are never weaned from the breast. We are always constantly eating, drinking milk. Always, always, always. And so we never get a chance to understand doctrine or knowledge of the things of God and how to operate in the things of God. So that's why the enemy comes in and destroy. You know, you go into many, many, many churches in the body of Christ, and the enemy is destroying, eating our lunch. Let's say it like that. Let me make it plain, everyday vernacular. He's eating our lunch because we are in the body of Christ. We have sickness and disease, and that Jesus came to take care of those situations for us. And but we won't believe those things which he provided for us, and we won't have faith for them. So therefore, they won't manifest in our lives. He goes on to say here, he say, for precept must be up on precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And so it should be taught in such a way that we can understand what the word of God is saying and follow it. He's not going to give it to you all at once. And so that goes back to what Mark and 26 said. They say, for so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should, what, cast seed into the ground, that seed springs up and grow, we know not how. He said, but first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He said, it becomes a process by which we learn the things of God and follow through with the things of God. You know, we grow, we learn, we continue to develop, and as we grow and develop, then the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, begin to manifest in our lives. Let's go back to Romans and finish reading that. Romans chapter 10. And verse 8, it said, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart? That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, it said, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's saved from any situation. Salvation is an all-encompassing word. It's a word that means soteria, means soundness of mind, means wholeness, means peace, means deliverance. And so it's a whole word. And so we have to understand that once we call upon the name of the Lord, anything that God has provided for us, we should be able to see. Verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so someone have to be teaching or preaching this word. Remember what Jesus said. He went about their synagogues teaching and preaching the word of God. And as he was teaching and preaching, that was manifestation. Signs and wonders was taking place in their lives. And he goes on to say, he said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And see, you know, I've made this statement in this class before. Many times we who are in the body of Christ are not sent, but we went. And since we went, then that manifestation, that power that God, we are supposed to be manifesting to the body of Christ. It's not operating in the body of Christ or in the members of the body of Christ. He said, how shall they call on him whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so when we start talking about God's government, remember what we said over in Isaiah 9 and 6, it said, all of his peace there shall be no end. And so this gospel peace where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. He said, how shall they, this glad tidings of the gospel of peace. So it's telling us the good news of what Jesus had provided for us. And then it goes on to tell us, it said, and the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. That's that grace again. God said, it's a grace. It's a free gift. Receive it. It's, God said, receive that which I provided for you. And the only way we can receive it is through faith. We have to believe what the word of God is saying. And once we believe what he says, then it can begin to manifest in our lives. And verse 17 says, so then faith coming by Romans 10:17 says, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So as we hear the word of God and we hear it enough, then we can have faith for it. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's why we have to continue to hear the same things over and over. That's why God told Joshua when he got ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land. One of the things he told them, he said, this book of the law. He was talking about what God had said. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but out of your eyes. But you should meditate in them day and night. And then you make your way prosperous. And then you have good success. So we take the word of God. We put it in our hearts. We put it in our mouth. And then it begins to manifest. Now, like I said, it doesn't happen because we say it once. It doesn't happen because we say it twice. But it's a continuing process that we have to do and we have to continue to do. And so as we do it, then we get faith for it. And then when we get faith for it, then it manifests in our lives. So let's make Romans 10:17. Make it your meditation scripture for this class. So then faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the word of God. And so and what I was trying to show you is the teacher aspect of this, of the kingdom, of this fivefold ministry gifts. Is these teachers, their value for the word is much higher than their need for the supernatural. I made that statement. These are actually the lawyers and scribes and Pharisees of our day, the teachers. There are many in the body of Christ who are called teachers. There are some excellent teachers in the body of Christ. But are we really, I mean, we're teaching the word based on doctrine, but are we teaching it in power? And in demonstration of the Spirit, that the individuals who are hearing it, their faith is not standing in the wisdom of men, but standing in the power of God. They have to get to that point that we know that God is always moving. Remember, I'm not trying to devalue the scripture, but I want you to understand how unimportant heaven has become because of this error and this disorder. We are teaching, just teaching so we can sound good. That we can make ourselves look good in the sight of the people. But we have to teach it, as Paul say, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that the people face should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's my lesson for tonight. I guess next semester we probably end up finishing up on the teacher, look a little bit at the pastor and some at the evangelist, and then we'll get into further into this cult of honor. We're going to get a little bit deeper into the things of the cult of honor. We're going to talk some about the covenant, old covenant and new covenant. So it's been a good semester. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is the last class for this semester, huh? Yeah. Everybody got excited. Yes, it is.